Ethics and Karma. Even scaffolding needs a foundation upon which to rest. The foundation for mindfulness practice, for all meditative inquiry and exploration, lies in ethics and morality, and above all, the motivation of non-harming. Why? Because you cannot possibly hope to know stillness and calmness within your own mind and body, to say nothing of perceiving the actuality of things beneath their surface appearances, using your own mind as the instrument for knowing, or embody and enact those qualities in the world if your actions are continually clouding, agitating, and destabilizing the very instrument through which you are looking, namely, your own mind. We all know that when we transgress in some way, when we are dishonest, lie, steal, kill, cause harm to others, including through sexual misconduct, when we speak ill of people, when we stimulate, dull, or pollute our own minds by abusing substances such as alcohol and drugs out of our own unhappiness and desire for some relief from our pain, the consequences are invariably destructive, causing untold harm to others and to ourselves. Among the consequences of such actions is the certainty that they cloud the mind and fill it with various energies that prevent calmness, stability, and clarity, and the enlivened, deep-seeing perception that can accompany such clarity. They take their toll on the body as well, tending to keep it chronically contracted, tense, aggressive, defensive, full of the effects of anger, fear, agitation, and confusion, and ultimately isolation, and in all likelihood also full of grief and remorse. For this reason alone, it's important to examine how we are actually conducting our lives, what we are actually doing, what our actual behavior is, and to be aware of the downstream effects of our thoughts, words, and deeds in the world and in our own hearts. If we are continually creating agitation in our lives and causing harm to others and to ourselves, it is that agitation and harm that we will encounter in our meditation practice. If we hope for a degree of peace in our own mind and heart, it's only commonsensical that we will benefit from no longer feeding those harmful tendencies and behaviors in ourselves. In this way, just by forming the intention to recognize and back away from such impulses, we can begin to shift over from unhealthy, what Buddhists quaintly but accurately call unwholesome and destructive mind states and actions, to healthier, more wholesome, and less clouded mind states and body states. What in the East is known as karma is basically the mystery of how our actions in the present wind up influencing what transpires downstream in time and space for ourselves and for others. Whatever we have done in the past, the law of karma, of cause and effect, says that it will have inevitable consequences in the here and now, some subtle, some gross, some understandable, some not, some even imperceptible, all modulated by our original motivation and intention, the quality of our mind that gave birth to the action itself. That can include, of course, as frequently happens, having no idea what our motivation was behind a particular thing that we did or said, because we were so caught up in the moment in an agitated state of mind, we literally didn't know what we were doing. The past may be behind us, but we carry with us the accumulated consequences of what has already happened, including perhaps remorse for past decisions, choices, and actions, or resentment for what happened to us that we were unable to prevent or control. Yet with appropriate effort and appropriate support and scaffolding, we can also change our karma by coming to the present moment openly and mindfully as best we can, and forming the intention to shift from more afflictive and perhaps destructive to more nurturing mind states and body states. Ultimately, each one of us is morally as well as usually legally responsible for our own actions and their consequences. Recall that in adjudicating crimes against humanity, such as those perpetrated by the Nazis in World War II, or the My Lai massacre in Vietnam, or in Srebrenica, international war crimes tribunals have always found that ultimately, when all is said and done, the responsibility to preserve our humanity sits squarely on each one of us, no matter what our rank or status in society. Ultimately, it is only individuals, each one of us, who can take a stand on the side of human goodness and kindness in the face of the immoral and the amoral and the unethical. Sometimes it is entirely invisible, simply choosing to act ethically, even if you are the only person who will ever know. or it may take the form of acts of civil disobedience for reasons of conscience, as when one chooses to publicly break a minor law and be willing to suffer the full legal consequences of one's actions, to bring attention to and to protest against actions or policies or laws within the body politic you consider to be immoral and harmful.